Kay and Clay. Picking it with Kay and Clay. Picking it with Kay and Clay. Picking it with Kay and Clay.
Hey, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in and watching or listening to Kicking It with Kay and Clay. I'm your girl, Kay Marie, and we have another good show for you today. As you know, we started doing something new this year. In the beginning of this year, we're going more series-based episodes. So, and you know that for January, we've been doing relationships. That's been our series. We started off with singles who want to date, those who are dating, those who are engaged. And then it brings us to today, those who are married. So married people, we are speaking to you today, okay? And we have a great guest today. Let me introduce her. So today's guest is a trained psychotherapist specializing in sexual functioning and trauma. She has over a decade of working experience with mental health across diverse populations in various capacities and social service. For the past 5 years, our guest has been committed to community education, specifically targeting sexual health throughout the lifespan, human trafficking, long-term trauma implications in adulthood, attachment narratives, and coping with mental health. Ladies and gentlemen, help me introduce our guest, Jessica Ross. Hi, hello. Jessica. How are you?
I am good. I'm happy to be here. Happy to have this conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for, you know, agreeing to come on and, you know, hopefully helping some people, my audience and those who are maybe listening for the first time to, you know, help them in what we're going to talk about today. And before we get started, I always like to know how my guests, what brought them to their passion and what they're are doing in their lives. So what made you want to be a certified sex therapist, psychotherapist?
Yeah. So in terms of being a therapist, that started with just a passion to I am introspective and I, you know, am very interested in other people and what creates their mindsets. And so that's kind of where that started. And then in terms of sex therapy, I met somebody I couldn't help, right? We will all meet people that we cannot help, but it wasn't just the idea that I wasn't a good fit for them. Mm-hmm. It was that I had no idea how to talk about what they were experiencing, how to sit with them and what they were experiencing, or how to be comfortable with that conversation. That led me to want to know more and to ask myself, like, as a therapist, how is it that I've never asked one of my clients what was happening in their sex life? Knowing full well that everything that's happening to them impacts their sex life. Yeah. So, you know, that led me to go and get certified and follow through with it.
So I'm curious. So did they ask you a question about So
it wasn't so much a question. It was, I used to do disability assessments at, in a private practice, just people who wanted to be off work. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, I asked a lot of historical questions, like basically, how did you get to this position where you need to be off work? What's creating the problem?
Okay.
And as the person started explaining it to me and just talking about the trauma history and the sexual abuse history and just walking me all the way through what was happening in adulthood as a result of that. And they were like, nobody can really help me. I've been in therapy, you know, X amount of years and I'm not getting better. So it turned into this conversation of, okay, well, let me try to find resources. Well, I didn't know how to find resources either. It's like, I don't know people who do this work.
Right.
You know, so it just kind of transitioned from there.
Are there, what's the field like? Are there a lot of certified, you know, sex therapists, or is it kind of, or is it not?
So there are a great deal of us, but our numbers are not as high as, you know, let's say licensed marriage and family therapists, or some of these more, some of these larger practitioners. So there are quite a few of us. There are not many of color in the field, but there are, again, just quite a few. sex therapists. So there's three breakdowns. There's sex therapists, there are sex counselors, and then there are sex educators.
Okay.
And so again, we're a growing field that is you know, abundant in Michigan. Most of the ones you will find are usually are located in Ann Arbor. I live in Macomb County, or I work in Macomb County. And so there's not, I think there's two of us that are certified in Macomb County. Yeah.
Really? What about Oakland County?
Oakland County has a few, but that I can think of off the top of the head, it's still just a handful.
Wow.
The majority of them are, because the program that certifies in Michigan is in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
The University of Michigan. And so, of course, those are the people who are going to know about the program first, right?
Right.
Down to the rest of us. So, yeah, the majority are flooding towards that Washtenaw area.
Okay. I mean, because, you know, it would make sense. You know, we talk about and we cater to our, you know, mental health as it pertains to, you know, different behaviors. But we often forget about, like, the sexual part of it. And then, like you said, you know, and not necessarily those who have been, you know, traumatized in that aspect, but just everyday people who don't know that they probably need help in this area. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to focus on the married couples just for today. So in your practice and your time of doing what you do, what would you say is the number one issue that you hear, number one complaint that you hear from your clients or just out and about, you know, with your colleagues about married people and when it pertains to sex?
So the number one thing is desire discrepancy. And that trickles down to frequency. How often are we having sex? But typically one partner has a higher sex drive than the other. And so the majority of people that are going to come see me, that's usually why. The second thing I would say would be intimacy. That people are like, we don't know how to be intimate, or we've lost that, or we want to re-engage that, or we never had that. So those tend to be the top two that I get calls about the most.
Okay, so let's talk on that. So the first thing, the different sex drive levels. And we know that it can be different at different times with either one. And I know that it's probably a misconception that it's the man that always have the high sex drive. So can you talk about that? Like, what is it? Usually the man? Is it the woman sometimes? Because, you know, we had different peaks.
Yeah, so I'll take a note from Emily Nagoski, Dr. Nagoski. She wrote the book, what is it called? Come As You Are. Okay. And one of the things she talks about in that book is like, yeah, we assume that it's always women with the low sex drive, but there are more in-group differences than there are between group differences in terms of what that looks like. Short version, no, it's not always the man. A lot of times I do get women with higher drives. And you pointed out something that's important. Different times in our life may present very differently. Some women, most women are at like a, and most men are at like a medium, meaning they want sex most of the time if the situation is right. And as we age, it just changes. So when men are younger, it's typical that, and it depends on where they grew up, how they grew up, what they were taught. Sex is all in their pants. As men age, sex shows up in their brain, and it's all about what does my brain want? How does my brain have desire? Whereas women, it's always in our heads. Desire happens in our brain. And so what that looks like, it just shifts as we age and as we get older and we end up on a more level playing field. But typically, it really just is this space where something has generally happened. Let's say maybe half of the people that I've worked with or talked to or my colleagues work with, half of them have always had low sex drives.
Okay.
Their partner might have always had one. And then the other half of the people, it's not that they've always had one, it's that the circumstances in their life present as so stressful that now they have one. That sex is just not as important as doing the dishes or raising the kids or going to work. It is just not as important to them anymore for whatever reason.
So how can it might be, I'm sure it's probably somebody out there that's like, yeah, that's me. You know, how can they turn it up a little bit, you know, or get their partner to be more, you know, like come down a little bit? So how can a couple work on that, work on solving that issue?
Main thing is acceptance. Okay. We have to be very realistic about where everybody is and not judge each other. If my partner has a high drive, great. Love it. If I have a lower drive and my fire takes longer to light, okay, great. The idea is to be curious. What might help me light that fire? How might you help me get there? What might be important to help me get to a point where I can meet your needs? And vice versa, what are your needs? Is it, and to be honest, most, let's say in a male-female scenario, most men look like all they're wanting from their partner is sex. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is they're wanting attention. They're mm-hmm. wanting love. They're wanting to be responded to. It just comes across as.
So that's how they equate it, that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it just comes across that way. And we, for some reason, we go after the things more that get rejected because we want to fix that thing. So the reality of it is you can be curious about your partner, ask questions, have real conversations about sex. What makes you want to have sex? What do you like about sex? How can sex be different? When I talk about sex, I'm talking about the gambit. I'm okay. talking about foreplay. I'm talking mm-hmm. about affection. I'm talking about sensuality. Most people are only talking about intercourse, which mm-hmm. ends up being a problem for couples too. So be curious, be accepting of your partner, and be creative.
Yeah. So how, let's hit on those things. How important, well, we women, we know, but how important is foreplay? And how, what if a man, you know, he struggles in that area? How can he fix that?
Again, I honestly, it's go back to be curious.
Okay.
Using your mouth, using your language. Mm-hmm. One of the sexiest things a couple can do is to talk. Like, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people are like, my man don't want to talk, or my woman don't want to talk, or my partner don't feel like talking.
Yeah.
But if you start engaging them about sexy conversations, they'll talk to you.
Okay.
Right. If they think they're going to get something out of that conversation, whatever that might look like. So a lot of it is ask your partner, hey, what does foreplay look like to you? Why is intimacy important? And let's be real, as women, it takes at least 45 minutes to for real get the body prepared for any sort of penetration. Mm-hmm. And so if you going from kiss me to now you sticking something in me within a right. short period of time, right. I'm not ready.
Right,
I'm
right.
not going to be enjoying it. I'm not going to be responsive. And I'm going to be like, I don't want to ever have sex. So,
right.
right. But if you think about all the steps that lead up to sex, so there are 5 levels of touch. And so it's like affection, sensuality, playfulness, eroticism, then intercourse. Most people mm-hmm. go from affection and they jump down to intercourse, but they mm-hmm. didn't miss all these other levels of touch in between. So if you haven't hit each stop, then you need to start over. You're not doing it right.
Mm. That's good. So break down sensuality, but maybe some people don't know what that entails.
So sensuality is typically non-genital touch, but it's usually clothed or half clothed, but it can be anything from a massage to a foot rub to cuddling on the couch mm-hmm. to something I do with clients is like back writing, which is, you know, you sit with your partner and you might write words that are sexy or playful or dirty mm-hmm. kind of on their back, right? Anywhere from playing games that might be intimate games, asking mm-hmm. sexy questions. Sensuality is about connection. It's about building trust. It's about extending intimacy to your partner. So it's not, again, it's not genitalia based.
Okay. All right. That's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of women, unfortunately, have, you know, they're getting stuck on like the big O, like, oh, you know, I haven't achieved it. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I've, you know, we all heard that it's, you know, it's mental. Mm-hmm. Right. So what about that woman who say she's been married? you know, for X amount of years and never experienced that with her husband.
So I feel like that's the conversation I need to have with you and your husband. First off, every woman is, some women are anorgasmic. Okay. So every single woman is not going to experience an orgasm. Orgasm, we hold it as the holy grail. And I get it. It feels good. I understand what some people are going. But again, as we age, we learn that, yeah, it's good, but I have to learn to value other things in sex in case my body doesn't do that anymore. Outside of that piece, my question will be, does your husband know? You know, and most women will tell me no. No, I would never tell him I didn't like sex. I would never tell my partner that I wasn't orgasmic. Like, so most of the time, I'm not saying most of the time, a lot of time, partners are wandering, walking around, and they're like, oh, yeah, no, my partner's satisfied.
Right. Especially, you know, after they ask and you lying, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Some people will lie. They still do. Or a partner will tell me, no, I know my partner's never had an orgasm, but they're in your head too much. So part of it is, you know, do you know what orgasm is? And a lot of people do not know what it means to have an orgasm, how it feels in their body. So some of the conversation around first is educating on what an orgasm is, how you can have one. Some women will tell me they've never had an orgasm, but what they mean is they've never had an orgasm with a penis inside of them or a toy inside of them. And trying to explain to them that, well, only 30% of women actually do that. Most women are going to have an orgasm only with clitoral stimulation, and that's perfectly normal. Well, some of it is like weeding out what they mean. But the other part is, okay, let's talk to your partner. Let's practice some, you know, maybe have you practice some solo play and see, you know, if you can't build that intimacy with yourself. Or, and again, sometimes just asking, why do you think you haven't had an orgasm?
Okay, Miss Ladies, don't be, you know, letting your husband have the big head, you know, walking around like he doing something, and you know, because trust, he wants to make you happy, hopefully.
Well, and don't get me wrong, there are partners out there who don't. I get couples who come in and the male partner is like, oh, I didn't know that was something I was supposed to be, you know, part of our sex life. So. You know, it's people out there who are kind of selfish in their love making. But once they learn that, nah, player, this is a two-person game, then they're like, oh, so it's a two-player game. It's like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's two players. You know? So it's once you get that analogy going, then they're like, okay, so my partner's feeling and this is important. Well, yeah. If you don't want her just laying there.
Right. You want her to participate and you know, maybe do some other stuff. You know? Yeah, I get it. Okay. And another thing you hit on too was, excuse me, intimacy. Yeah. How important is intimacy?
So intimacy is up there for a couple that is trying to connect and trying to have sort of this healthy relationship, a healthy sexual relationship, a healthy emotional, mental relationship. It's very important. Intimacy is how we connect. And so most people think intimacy means sex. It doesn't. Intimacy is, again, it's connection, it's vulnerability, it's trust, it's sharing. So that could be conversation, but that could be holding hands, but that could be just sitting and breathing together. Intimacy is different for every couple, but it's very important. And again, for a lot of people that see me, of course, it's about sexual function. And so for some people, it's that maybe my body doesn't work the way it used to. I work with a lot of people who are post-cancer diagnosis, post-a diabetes diagnosis, post some, you know, more invasive things, and their body doesn't work the same. Their body doesn't do the same thing. And so the idea is, well, how do you have intimacy and sexuality when I can't have penetration or I can't have oral or I can't do some of these other things. So yeah, intimacy is extremely important. Again, as we age, our bodies change too. Our frequency changes. So that being able to lay in a bed with a partner and not have to do anything means a lot for some couples.
Yeah. Wow. And you mentioned too, like just get creative. I mean, creativity people underestimate creativity.
And you know what? I think over and under, because some, you know, when I say get creative, people are like, you know, I don't want to be kinky. And I'm like, well, no, you don't have to be kinky.
Right.
Creative, but when is the last time, for example, like you washed or made hair? Or when is the last time that you cooked together and did that together? When is the last time that you went for a walk? When is the last time that you touched your partner's entire body? Not a massage, but just touched their body and had no intention other than to take in their essence. Right? When is the last time you showered together or washed your mate's feet? So it doesn't have to be anything particularly big.
Yeah. That's good. And then another thing you said that you see a lot of issues is frequency. So how can, I know that can be an issue, especially because, you know, women, we are, you know, led to believe like a man, and we hit on it earlier, you know, wants it all the time. Like, even if he's tired, like, you know, a man's going to muster up something, you know, but, you know, say he's tired, you know, but, and it's been a while, you know, so how does that person deal with that?
Yeah. So I have to put the disclaimer out there and say women like sex just as much as the next person, right? But in terms of like frequency, on average, most couples are having sex one time a month and up to four times in a week. So
you said one time a month?
One time a what month to four times. Like it, so it really does vary depending on the couple, depending on the age of the couple. You know, so you probably see somewhere but couples in like their mid-level ages are like 2 to 4 times a week. In that though, if it's been a while, part of what I think is important is what's the understanding in your couple, because there will be stressors that it's like, ugh, I'm not feeling it this week. I'm bloated this week. I'm tired this week. He's had a hard day at work this week. Kids getting on every, like, so there are going to be moments where sex is not going to, intercourse is not going to be, you know, the thing that you go towards. But like we said, going back to that intimacy and other forms of touch, but just kind of saying to your partner, you know, hey, I miss you. I miss feeling you. I miss lying with you. I miss being with you. Can we share something that evening? And so it takes the pressure off of, can you do this? We haven't had sex in a week, because that shuts people. It shuts them all the way down. It actually creates, it supports sexual dysfunction, I should say.
Oh, wow.
And so part of that is, you know, just saying, hey, I miss you. You know, what do you think about doing this? Because maybe a partner's not up for intercourse, but maybe they're up for some shared solo play or some other kinds of play. So it also means make suggestions and going back to that, be creative. Okay. You know, so it's being open, being honest, being transparent. Asterisk is if you have that kind of relationship. If not, you need to start cultivating that kind of relationship.
Right. So, and a lot of what, you know, I've been hearing you say is communication. Communication is definitely key to a healthy sex life. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I absolutely. One of the things that I start with, that I build a foundation on, is how do you two talk about sex? So most of the couples, when they come and see me, I go, okay, what's your sex agreement? How do you talk about it? When you want sex, how do you act? Like, those are some big questions. And then I also say, well, when conflict arises, what do you do? So part of that is, for most couples, learning healthy, effective, nonviolent communication. Marshall Rosenberg calls giraffe listening and speaking. And it's just understanding that most of the time, even though your partner is not going to use the best language, they're probably trying to say please and thank you. They're probably trying to get a need met. They just are not doing it in the best way.
Right.
They're probably agitating you with the way they're doing it. But if you pull back and go, okay, you need something, this is why you're throwing the tantrum, then I might respond to you differently by saying, well, hey, what do you need? So it's really learning to communicate with the understanding that my partner is not trying to hurt or harm me, that my partner is trying to get their needs met, and they might need help around appropriate language for that. And I might need help around hearing it.
Okay. Okay. Let's communicate again. Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, I know a lot of times too, you said, like, our bodies change, especially, like, you know, for, and I keep going back to women because I am a woman. So going back to women, you know, especially if they're like premenopausal or in menopause, you know, I know that changes a lot as well, too. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
So how would you deal? How would that woman, you know, that is, say, either pre or in menopause, you know, how, because her body is changing. Mm-hmm. So how would you, what did you suggest that she do, and her husband, who he may not understand what's going on?
Yeah. So for, you know, cisgender women who hit that age range, and for women of color, it can be much younger than for other women. But when they hit that age range of when their bodies start to change, estrogen starts to deplete from the body, the fatty tissue starts to decrease, the blood flow starts to change as menopause sets in. One of the things is that, you know, pretty much all of us will experience menopause, again, for cisgender women. What happens, though, is while 50% of us will go through it one way, another 25% of us will experience what we call GSM. And so basically that's the symptoms of like the hot flashes, the vaginal dryness, the itchiness, the atrophy of the skin. And so not all women will have the exact same responses to menopause. Not all women will go through it the same way or at the same age. So we all have different responses.
Yeah.
But one of the things is that, you know, if you're having some of those symptoms, working with a doctor can be helpful for women who don't have a history of hormone positive, estrogen or progesterone positive breast cancer or cancers, that they are more likely to be able to use estrogen and some of those hormones that can be supportive. But, you know, there are creams that tend to help just kind of with that vaginal dryness if people experience it. There's stretching, and there's a whole thing on my website just about how do you lubricate, how do you stretch the vaginal opening to just keep it ready for use if you choose to use it. One of the important things is that if you don't use it and if you're not stretching it and keeping it lubricated and open, the hole can, it can shrink. And we have that thinning of skin.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not taking care of it, that can bleed even with just wiping from going to the bathroom. So it's really about, you have to figure out the best way to take care of the skin down there. Be sensitive to it. Be mindful of that. When you have sex, use a lubricant that is appropriate for your body and for whatever you might have experienced. And then just telling your partner. A lot of people don't tell their partners that sex hurts now, that I'm going through menopause or that I've been through menopause. I hear a lot of that a lot of partners are like, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was creating pain. So it's really being honest about, well, what is your body experiencing? What is changing about that? And one of the things I mentioned real quick is, there's also a lot of self-love that's needed around menopause, just for women outside of their couple, in terms of your body is changing shape. The vulva is changing shape. Again, you're losing some of that fatty tissue, right? And the labia. And so it's also a lot of just learning to love your body through the changes that it's going through.
That's really important. Okay, so as we wrap up here, it's been really some very good information in this short amount of time. What would you, just the one thing that you would leave my audience, you know, that is married, what would be the one thing that you would tell them?
Be creative in your sexuality and your partnership. Sex is meant to be healthy and connecting and a team game. So play it well and play it together.
All right. On that note, that was really, really, really good. Thank you so much, Jessica. And for those who are, you know, local, many of you know, I'm in Michigan, Metro Detroit area. Jessica has an office in Sterling Heights, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And you can reach her at jcounselingoffice@gmail.com.
Well, I'm gonna correct that real quick.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it should be office, or it should be office at jessicaljross.com.
Office at
jessicaljross.
jessicaljross.com. Okay. Yeah. I do have the Jessica J Ross LJRoss.com. Yeah, we have that up there too. So for those who are, you know, you're not looking at us right now, but you're listening, she can be contacted. Do you do virtual?
I am doing virtual right now. Okay. Currently, my sessions are virtual. I am not a virtual therapist, so I will be transitioning back to in office, but I am currently virtual.
Okay. Yeah. So she can do that, you guys. Currently, who knows when, you know, we're going to get back to some type of normalcy. Hopefully, it's very soon. All right. So thanks again, Jessica, so much for taking time out of your schedule to speak to my audience here. And I just pray that the information that was shared today on this episode, that it will help those who need it. And I believe it will.
I hope so. Thank you for having me. Thank you, audience, for listening and accepting me onto the podcast. So all well.
All right. So everybody, thank you again. And we're going to come back with another series in February. And that series is going to deal with all things weddings, because I know y'all probably tired of hearing me. You know, recently I got engaged back in October. So, you know, thank you. So you should have known that a wedding series is going to come. So that's going to be next month. So thank you so much, everyone. As always, I appreciate each and every one of you for listening and supporting and downloading and sharing our episodes, our podcast. Thank you so much. And I will see you next week. Thanks again, Jessica.
Thank you.
All right.